And I hope and trust that you're going to get something out of this study this morning. Now, when I was my first year at university, one of the lecturers brought up the Bible. And when he brought up the Bible, he quoted a name in the Bible. And if you look at today's sermon, the sermon comes from a Greek, it comes from a Hebrew Bible I was studying. And it's a creature with monstrous dimensions. Creature with monstrous dimensions. That's what the Hebrew and this Bible commentary I have. And when I was studying as in my degree, my first year, this lecturer came up and he says, you know, the Bible, it's got these words, it's got Leviathan. What on earth is Leviathan? What is Leviathan? And he dismissed it as purely fables, just to dismiss the Bible. Always remember that. But of course, in my first year of being a student, although I'd been a Christian for a number of years, most of my time I had been reading the New Testament. I knew about stories in the Old Testament. There are some books in the Old Testament I never got around to reading. Books like we're going to look at today, the Book of Job, Book of Isaiah. And so, at that point in time, I couldn't tell what the Bible was. But I have no problem today to declare who the Bible is. And so that's why we're going to look at it. And so today we're going to really, the way you find out is you have to compare scripture with scripture. Now, as I said, I've got this book, and one of the main claims is that the Hebrew will unlock secrets that you will never find in English. And there are too, there are lots of things in Hebrew which you will find and stuff there. But there are things, it doesn't matter how good you know the Hebrew or the Greek, you'll never find. Because you have to go to the author of the book, not to languages. And one of the things when I looked at this, and I'm looking at the Hebrew to get what they say, well, they go to Psalm 104, verses 25 to 26. And in that psalm, it talks about the ships of the sea, and it talks about this great creature in the sea. And what they say is, well, in modern Hebrew, Leviathan means a whale. He says, but when we read Job chapter 41, that is not the description of a whale. So we don't know what it is. We have ideas or suggestions. He said, but we still have problems. And so we can't really define to you what Leviathan or who Leviathan is. Now, in the scriptures, one of the things you must know, the purpose of the scriptures is given in the New Testament. All scripture is given for, what's the first thing scripture is given for? Doctrine. So when I'm going to talk about Leviathan today, I'm not going to be talking about Leviathan spirit. I'm not going to be talking about any of my general spirit, Leviathan spirit, any of that. I'm talking today about Leviathan. Who is Leviathan? And so when we come to the scriptures, I'm going to go through scriptures to show how you go through scriptures to unravel things, because in the scriptures always has the answers to what you want. Sometimes it's not easy to find the answer. Sometimes it's very difficult. Actually, the Bible is very easy to find when you compare scripture with scripture. And if I had known that at that period of time, it wouldn't have been a problem for me to speak to the lecturer and tell all about the Leviathan. But when we come to talk about the Leviathan, we're not talking about a natural creature. We are talking about a spiritual creature. We're not speaking about something that's natural, but something that's spiritual. And this is very important, because you need to know what you're up against in life. And if you don't know what you're up against, you're easily deceived. Leviathan is mentioned a number of times in scriptures. Job chapter 41 verse 1 is the first time it comes up. And here it says, "Canst thou draw out Leviathan with a hook, or his tongue with a cord, which you let down?" And right away he said, talks about Leviathan as a creature of the sea, amphibious. And he's saying, can you be like a fisherman? And can you get him by a hook and pull him out? Or can you be like a fisherman and put in your cord, you know, your reel, and try and pull him in? He said, no. You can't do that. And normally when we look at Bible, there is a thing the Bible says, the law of first mention. So the law of first mention, the whole of Job chapter 41 is a description of the Leviathan. And so if you know who the Leviathan is, then you'll know all about his character and what like he is. But before we get into it, let's just cover other scriptures which mention Psalm 74, verses 13 and 14. Especially verse 14. 13 says, "You divide the sea by the strand, you break the heads of the dragons and the waters, you break the heads of the Leviathan." So the Leviathan has got more than one head. Very basic, more than one head. There's no creature, natural creature, like the Leviathan. Psalm 27:1. "In that day the Lord with his sword and great and strong sword shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea." So Leviathan is also a serpent. Not only that, if you went to Revelation, which will come on earlier on, it talks about the dragon who's got seven heads in the book of Revelation. So as we go through the scriptures here, the scriptures themselves start to unveil who we're up against and who we're dealing with. And the thing about the scriptures, the very basic question, can you use the methods of a fisherman to get Leviathan? The answer is no. If you go down to verse 4, "Will he make a covenant with you?" Well, he's going to make a covenant with somebody. The Bible tells me in Isaiah 20:15 that the people of Israel are going to make a covenant with death and with hell. The Bible also tells me in Daniel, "He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week," and they're going to break the covenant. So will he make a covenant with you? Well, he will make a covenant, but he's going to be a covenant breaker. And he's going to make a covenant with a special group of people. And it also goes on to say, in verses 15, down 16, 17, it talks about his pride, how he scales his pride, he expands upon the uniqueness of his appearance. And who does that bring you to mind? Who was raised up, who was so proud, they wanted to exalt his throne above the throne of God. And the Bible said, you don't mess with him. None is so fierce that dare stir him up. You don't want to go and stir him up, because he's fierce and you're not going to stand any way in front of him. He is fierce. And there's no animal, there's no creature in this earth that is like Leviathan, because he is not a normal creature. He is a spiritual being. From Job 41 through 19 to 21, You get the description of him, and you get the description of a dragon. His mouth goes burning lamps and sparks of fire leap out. Out of his nostrils goes smoke as out of a searing pot of cauldron. His breath kindleth coals and a flame goes out of his mouth. And of course that takes us again to Revelation, doesn't it? The seven-headed red dragon. Because the dragon spews out the fire. The dragon is the description here that he's given you. And then you go down to verse 26 to 29. It tells us that all man's weapons are useless against them. There's no weapon that man has that will be effective against Leviathan. And then verse 33. Upon earth is not his like, who is made without fear. On earth there is no comparison to Leviathan. He is made without fear. And as we'll see in a moment, you have to be careful how you deal with him. He is made without fear. No animal that you will find in this world is made without fear. Every animal has fear. Everybody has fear. But this creature is made without fear. He beholdeth all high things. He is king over all the children of pride. He is king over all the children of pride. Ezekiel says he was perfect in beauty, and his heart was lifted up because of his beauty. But you know, in Job 40, God speaks to Job in verse 12. Look on everyone that is proud, and bring him more Job, and tread down the wicked in their place, hide them in the dust together, and bind their faces in secret. If you can do that, Job, then will I also confess unto thee that thine own right hand can save thee. So God is saying, look, Job, if you can deal with this Leviathan, you can deal with this one in the crowd, you can bring him down, you can bring him on. He says, then you can do it yourself. So when we get again to Leviathan, the Bible says, we cannot build him. He is a creature with great power. He is a creature that the Bible, if you go through chapter 41, will tell you. You meet his appearance, and his appearance is so horrible that you really are totally, you can't move, you're in so much fear. And so this is a scripture that Leviathan had more than one head. Thou breakest the heads of Leviathan in pieces. So we're not dealing with any ordinary animal there. But we know the one that has more than one head. Revelation 12:3, and there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads and seven crowns upon his head. Scripture with scripture revealed who we're dealing with. And appeared, and then further down it goes, it's remarkable that Leviathan had more than one head, and now we are told the dragon has seven heads. And we tie them together through Psalm 27:1. In that day the Lord with his sword, a great strong sword, shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, even Leviathan, the crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon in the sea. The dragon has seven heads. The devil comes as a serpent in the beginning in the garden. He is a crooked serpent, the piercing serpent, the crooked serpent, and he's a dragon in the sea. And so that's why the scripture in Job 41:19-21 about the appearance of a dragon, the fire from his mouth, is all given, because it's relinking what we're reading in Revelation. But also further in Revelation 12:9 it says, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. So Leviathan is a piercing serpent, he is a crooked serpent, and he's a dragon in the sea, and he's called the devil and Satan. All you have to do is compare scripture with scripture and take your time to go through scripture to get revelation. And if you stick with just the meaning of the words, you stay there and never move forward. But now that we know that, how do you fight against them? Such a description. It would seem impossible. How do you cope and deal with them? Now, he's made without a fear. So he has no problem coming before God and saying, and God said, you think, look at what you have to do. He's going, ah, just because you give him, you bless him, you protect him. He's not, he hasn't a problem coming before God and speaking God face to face. He's made without fear. He's audacious. We also know in the book of Jude, remember when the angel goes to get the body of Moses? The angel doesn't try to fight Leviathan. He says to the angel, the Lord that put you here. And even more than that, when you go to Zechariah, and you go to Zechariah chapter 3, verse 2, you get another scene in heaven. And this scene is to do with Joshua the high priest. And Satan comes into the before God and he says, ah, look at your servant Joshua. Look on there, these filthy garments. And in heaven, the Bible says, and the Lord said, the Lord rebuke you. So in heaven, in the Godhead, Jesus is saying, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. Nobody is ever dealing with him apart from God himself. Nobody can overcome, nobody can deal with him. But you see, things changed when Jesus became flesh and walked amongst us. See, when Jesus came and walked amongst us, the Bible says he was driven into the wilderness. And in the wilderness, after 40 days of fasting and praying, it said that Satan came to tempt him. And in these scriptures, every time he came to tempt the Lord, and the Lord would say, it is written. It is written. It is written. And every time, what happened? They said, and Satan left him for a season. He never overcame. And so what we have, we get a revelation of how you deal when the temptation comes. Now, Smith Wigglesworth, it was written about Smith Wigglesworth, that one night in his bed, that Satan appeared in his room, and he just looked and said, ah, it's you, come over, put your clothes on. So, when we go to James chapter 4, verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Notice what the Bible does not say. It does not say, attack the devil. You do not attack the devil. You do not attack him. If you want to get into the realm of trying to go into the heavens and attack him, then you're going to end up being mauled like a lion. And what the scriptures does say is, you resist the devil. And how do you resist? You resist them the same way that Jesus done it. It is written. Mm-hmm. And he can't overcome that. Mm-hmm. He is this creature, so powerful, so fearsome. He's got all these descriptions. But when you stand on the word of God and you resist him and quote the word of God when he tempts you, he has to flee. He has to flee. Mm-hmm. Because he has no power, nor authority over you. He'll try to deceive you. He'll try to manipulate you. He'll try to give lies and deceit. He will have up to all his own tricks as it was in the garden, as God said. Is that really true? He would always question God. But when you stand firm, knowing whom you believe, knowing the Savior, knowing the Son of God, knowing your sin forgiven, and when the temptation comes, you say, it is written. Yeah. It is written.
Yep.
And he can't overcome you. Now that's absolutely phenomenal. And you're not asked to go and attack him. You leave him alone to his own devices. But the scripture tells you what to do. The scripture says pray for governments. You pray for situations. You pray for elections. You pray for all different things for God's will to be done. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so as we as children of the living God, we are praying, Father, let your will be done in earth. There's elections coming up, so we pray, Lord, that the right person gets in, the one that you want in. So we pray according to what the scriptures ask us to pray for. And one of the secrets that you find when we do what the Word of God says. I remember listening to this man who was very deeply into the occult, Africa, in one of the nations. And he says, you know, in the nation, this evangelist came. He says, and he had lots of intercessors praying. He says, we had to withdraw. We had to move away. We had to go into the neighboring country. He said, but when the intercessors stopped praying, he said, we could start to come back in again. See, when we live according to the Word of God, and we obey the Word of God, and we are proclaiming the Word of God, you know what the Bible says in Acts 10:38? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Jesus was anointed of the Holy Ghost. He went about doing good, preaching the word, healing sick, bringing deliverance to people who were under the bondage of Satan. Think of the Apostle Paul. He goes to Ephesus. What do you have in Ephesus? You have the temple, and the people are worshipping Diana. Diana of the Ephesians. Diana of the Ephesians. How great she is. What happened with Paul? The miracles that were wrought by the hand of Paul. These miracles became the weapon that pulled down Diana of the Ephesians. Why go to a temple to watch somebody who can't heal, but go to the living God who heals and restores and breaks the power of Satan? So we want to be people who are anointed of the Holy Ghost. Because as we're anointed with the Holy Ghost, going about doing good and bringing deliverance to the people, as people's lives get changed, as ministers and government lives get changed, things start to change in the nations, things start to change in the areas. But we don't go into the heavens to attack Satan. Let him get on with what he's going. And if he gets interested to come because you're doing too much damage, you just stand in the Word of God and say, it's written. It is written. That is the power and authority you have. The power and authority over a creature who everybody else was so afraid of and couldn't stand against and were terrified against. A spiritual being who was lifted high with his beauty, and he wanted to exalt his throne above the throne of God. One without fear who comes to God face to face and has no fear whatsoever. Can you stand in the presence of God without fear? Have you ever felt the presence of God coming and then you start to, whoa. He was without fear. But our God has enabled every one of you to be empowered to know, ignore him, that if he comes to you because you're doing too much damage in the kingdom of darkness, then you stand in the Word of God and you say, it is written.
Amen.
It is written. We have power and authority. God anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Ghost. God poured out the Holy Spirit in the day of Pentecost, that his church might be anointed with the Holy Ghost. So we want to be people filled with the Spirit of God and to know the anointing of God. Because as we go about destroying the works of darkness, then you're going to start to see change in the environment where we live. When we start to see that change, it will start to ripple. And as lives get changed and in places of power and of influence, then changes come at a higher level. We get on with doing the work that we're called to do. And we know the weapon to use if we get any attack. And so the scriptures, when we take the scriptures, we go compare scripture with scripture. The serpent, the crooked serpent, he's a dragon in the sea, he's called the devil, he's called Satan. He's got so many disguises and so many names. But when you draw it all back, he's the one who tried to displace God. And the Bible tells us his fate is forever sealed. His fate is forever sealed. And we don't want people to be going to the same destination as he is. Because the scripture says God has enlarged hell because of people's sin. But we want to be people who are anointed of God, filled with the Spirit, be able to stand, and when the enemy comes, you can be like Smith Wigglesworth and say, oh, it's just you, turn off and go back to sleep. See, you have power. That's why you need to know the Word of God. Because when it comes, you have to say, it is written. So Father, we just come today and we thank you that there may be challenges in your Word to understand. But Father, we thank you that you're the author of Scriptures and you reveal through Scriptures, Lord, things that humanly possible we would never know. And we thank you this morning, Father, that you are the God of all power and all authority, and we are now the sons and daughters of the living God. It doesn't yet appear what we shall be, but we know when we shall see Jesus, we shall be like him. And so, Father, we give you the praise, we give you the honor, we give you the glory this morning, that our God reigns. He is above all, and his love for us is great. And so, Father, we just ask your blessing now on everyone here in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen.